This ain't.
Blog Talk Radio.
Man, if I was doing any better, I wouldn't know what to do.
Hey, man, I think I might have told you guys, man. I don't know what I told everybody this, man, but I signed up for a class, man, at South Piedmont Community College. You know, you can go to college
free right now, man.
Yeah, I got back in, man. I got back in, bro.
So I'm going to school, too.
It's hard on me, man.
Will they take me?
I actually saw. It's hard, man. I had to use the saw, man. You know, the man, you know, in the group class, you know, and they try to show you how to use stuff, basic stuff like a hammer. And I thought I knew how to use a hammer all right. Then they showed us how to use a saw, and I didn't have a saw too good, bro. I didn't have it too well.
Hey, man. It doesn't sound like the most high-tech cook school you go into. They're teaching you how to use a hammer and a saw. I'm not sure that's where the growth is right now. But they, wait a minute, now that you mention it, though, they're building a lot of houses now. So.
Now, the construction is just good. There's a lot of hammering going on.
Is that what they're teaching you? No wonder it's free. They're teaching you how to use a hammer. No wonder it's free.
funny mind. I like to see you use a hammer.
You know what, man? I haven't used one in so long, I probably need to go back to school. That's a saw. Hey, man, you know what I did one time? They need to teach people how to use a chainsaw. That's what they need to teach people how to do.
Yeah, I'm scared of
that. I rented a chainsaw one day.
Yeah.
I almost cut my darn leg off. That's what they need to teach.
I know, man.
I'll sign up for that.
I quit pulling
they
those.
Teaching
I,
that?
I just want food with them, man. Look, I thought
if they teach
you
how to use if they teach you how to use a chainsaw, sign me up, Jack.
Oh, man, it's bad. Yeah, I didn't handle the saw too well, man. It was that one of those jigsaws. You know, one cut the circles and designs and stuff.
Oh, not the kind that you put on a... Not the regular saw, the little one that shake, that you push back and forth, not that kind.
Oh, no, no, no. Power tools, bro.
Oh, power. Okay, man, no wonder. Okay, man, tell me. Make it plain, buddy.
The name of this course.
I'm sending this.
The name of this course is Construction Technology.
Oh, okay. And I'm thinking about the saw that you put the little Charlie horse, little two pieces of wood, and you put it in the mill and saw it. Not that kind of saw.
You still need a horse, man. Right. You still need a horse, man.
Oh, you still need a Charlie
you
horse.
You still need a horse. Still need a horse.
So,
Curtis Gable just
joined
the conversation, bro.
Curtis. Hey, Leon. Robert.
Brother. Hey, Curtis, can you
how you doing, bro?
How y'all doing?
Man, Curtis, one of the rest of you.
Yes, I know Curtis can use a saw. That boy. You go to Curtis' house, man. That joker, he done made a room. That joker done sawed stuff and glued stuff together. He had little heads of black folks in his room. Curtis can probably use a saw.
Curtis can draw. He can't saw.
If you can saw, you can draw. If you can draw, you can saw.
No.
When you say
tell
Curtis?
Him, Bob.
Tell him, Robert.
That
boy can saw.
If you
can draw, you can saw.
If you can draw, you can saw. You can saw too. You can do it all, buddy.
Okay. Y'all need to go into class. Y'all need to go to class. Not.
But see,
as simple as you think.
We probably sawing wrong. We probably doing it the wrong way. Like so many things.
Yeah, we're trying to learn how to do it right, brother.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome
to the Brother Pereira Radio Show. Welcome to the Brother Pereira Radio Show. The number to call in is 215-383-3872. 215-383-3872. Tonight we have Robert, Leon, and Curtis. Joseph is in...
Uh-huh.
He's in Hill. Down there in that beach. Huh. Anyway, Joseph's on vacation. He's gonna be with us tonight.
Well,
I think we have three brothers capable of carrying this thing out tonight. We also have a special guest tonight, Mr. Jonathan Pope. Jonathan Pope. This is a good brother, man. Got a good brother on the show with us tonight, man. I'm gonna let Curtis feel this script out for me. I'm gonna let Curtis do a little sermon for us, man. Curtis tonight. Amen. Curtis tonight, we wanna deal with the scripture. It is more blessed to give than to receive.
Well,
Curtis.
Can you hear me? Am I on?
Yes, sir. We hear
yes,
you,
sir.
Man. We want you. We'd like for you to expound on that for just a minute. Just a minute now. Give us just a minute because we got a brother on the line that is living this scripture.
Yeah. Well, that's definitely the case. A lot of times we are praying for the wrong things. We are praying for a bigger house. We're praying for a nice car. We're praying for things. When actually the way we can be blessed And the scripture just stated it. It just says what it says. It is what it is that whenever you give, then that you are work. You are doing God's work. God's work is giving work. It's not receiving work. It's not taking. It's not robbing. It's not being rich. Jesus told you clearly. He told a rich man. The rich man thought he was going to get into heaven and all that because he had supposedly had been good, but he had all that money. He had all that wealth. And the Lord said, no. You can't get in here with that. If you are good, then how do you have all of this wealth? So, and you can give not just having wealth, giving your time, giving your, giving time to people is a part of giving. There was a way in which our giving is measured, not based upon how much we give financially, based upon what we have to offer. To whom much is given, much is required. But if you have little, then that is also taken into account. Jesus mentioned that when he said about the woman who gave a penny. He said she gave more than some of the people who gave a lot because she gave all she had. So, you know, it's not based upon how much you give in measuring to those who have wealth and all these other things, but what do you have to offer? And what you have to offer is what you should give as much as you can. And then once you give what you have, then you can expect to be blessed. But if you're sitting on your gifts, you're sitting on your time, you're sitting on resources, and you're not sharing it with those who are in need, you certainly cannot get into the kingdom of God. So people who are giving, that is the way to the kingdom.
Amen, brother. That was what you call a sermonette.
Uh-huh. Amen.
Yeah.
To God be the glory.
That was powerful. Yeah, I would just like to add to that giving is powerful. I mean, once you start giving, once you start serving and giving, you just get a certain power of fulfilling. It's a powerful feeling, you know. And you know it's got to be more blessed to give than to receive, because you're showing the receiving end, you know, I don't need to go there. But I'm just saying, even the person with just a little bit, sometimes people don't think they have enough to give. You have time.
Right.
And you do have something you can give. You do have something. So
yeah.
Everybody
listen. Let me say this, too.
Yes, sir.
You know, sometimes people think because a person is homeless, they don't have anything to give. You see what I'm saying? But a person who is homeless is not necessarily a person who can't help someone who's elderly to do something around their house or to do something good or to, you know, you can offer sometimes your help, your labor. Sometimes labor can be something that you give. You know, a person might need, you know, I'm pretty sure you guys know somebody's grass might need to be cut or somebody. I often hear you talk about how someone would help to take your garbage to the streets. You know, there are different ways in which you can give that, again, it doesn't cost any money. You may not necessarily have wealth, but you might have help. And so sometimes you can share your health with people who are weak physically.
Yeah, that's true.
That is true.
Back, since you mentioned my neighbor over here, this guy, man, I don't know what I did, but, you know, like I said, just probably it's just him. He's just a good guy. You know, because I guess he noticed sometimes I didn't take my trash to the street. I may not wake up on time, or I may be out of town or something.
Right.
And on every Thursday morning, I make sure my trash is out there early enough. And these guys come like 7 o'clock in the morning, man. Before 7 or 6 o'clock.
Yep.
And he makes sure it's out there every Thursday morning. And I just, you know, and I try to reciprocate and do things for him. But I found the best way to do, the only time I can really look at him and figure out I can do to him, not because he necessarily needs it. I just give him a good Christmas present, good, you know, just sometimes find a way to, you know, reciprocate. That's another thing we need to talk about, reciprocation.
Yeah,
when people do nice things for you, find a way to reciprocate.
But that's a good example of just being a good neighbor and just doing good and giving. I mean, a lot of times people think it has to be out of your account or out of your pocket. But that person who's taking your trash to the road, he noticed a void. He looked over and probably said, "My neighbor is very busy. He might see you in the community doing work. He might know of good work that you're doing." And his contribution to that work or his assistance is, look, you know, I have time to take his trash to the road, or I have time, there might be somebody else who might want to bake you a cake. You never know. But I'm just saying people can give in various ways, and God knows your heart. I mean, when you're giving what you can, when you can, where you can, I can assure you, you will be blessed accordingly.
You know what, boys?
All right. Robert, what you got to say, Robert? I knew you had something. I knew you were waiting on me to get through.
You know, I got to throw my little hat in the ring here. Because, let's put it this way. There's some people among us who are selfish. And sometimes not selfish to a in a nefarious way, but just by instinctively, they're into this cost-benefit analysis. Everything has to be a benefit in order for them to be motivated to do it. Well, if that's you, for whatever your reason, then I can even say giving is actually to your benefit as well. Because Leon touched on it by this thing called reciprocity. When you give, there is something in the universe. There is reciprocity is real. There is one of the powerful laws of human nature is that when somebody gives you something, you almost feel obligated to give them something in return. And so if you're one of these people that feel like you got to get something out of everything that you do, and I'm not saying there's anybody in our listening audience because we know that's nobody we know, but let's just assume that that is somebody out there in the world who has to get something back. I can't do anything if I can't get something in return. Well, I'm telling you that if that person is listening, giving is so rewarding. Actually, matter of fact, the act of giving itself can be viewed as selfish because you get so much from it. When you give, you get peace of mind.
That's fun.
You get rest.
That's fun.
You can sleep at night. You have a clear conscience. And then on top of that, sometimes the very same people that you give to will turn around and reward you in ways that you could never have imagined. So, yeah, go ahead and do it for selfish reasons, if nothing else. But let me tell you something else, people. There's something in the universe. There's a God in the sky also. So whatever you believe in, there is no religion under the sun that does not acknowledge the magnificence and the reciprocal powers of giving. So do it. You will get it back. I know that sounds a little cliche. It sounds a little trite, but it is true as the day is long. I practice it every single day. When I discovered this, ladies and gentlemen, it was a little secret I wanted to keep to myself. It was so good to me. I mean, I'd be giving out free services. I employed it in my practice. I go down the street. I be giving out money to folks. And I'm saying to myself, I'm going to keep this secret to myself. Well, I'm going to share it today, ladies and gentlemen. You go out here and start giving tomorrow, and I don't care what you believe in. There's something in the universe. You're going to start getting things back that it's going to blow your mind. You're not going to know where it's coming from. But just trust me on this. Giving is rewarding. It works. It pays. I don't want you to do it just because you want to get something in the back because Robert said, look, it's going to don't start doing it for that reason. I hope it's coming from your heart. And I know the people listening to me, that's genuinely where it's coming from. But just in case, one day your heart is not there. One day you've had that bad day and the heart is saying, look, I ain't doing jack for nobody. It's all about me today. You can still benefit by giving. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
Amen, brother. Ladies and gentlemen, listen to the radio show. That was beautiful, Robert. Beautiful. I'm going to ask you one question before I go to a break.
Yes, sir.
What is this, Robert?
Okay.
Robert.
I want to say something, but go ahead and say something to Robert. I want to say something, too.
I just want to ask Robert, man, what does nefarious mean?
With bad intention.
All right, man. I just want to make sure. I know I'm
nefarious,
scurrilous,
diabolical.
Got you, bro.
Anyway, go ahead.
All right,
go ahead, Curtis.
Because I know Robert was saying something about wanting to give out money when he went down the road and everything. I want to say something to that, and maybe we need to have a show about that one day, because people had this thing about, well, if I give this person something, he needs to get a job, or he might go buy some drugs, or he might go get some whiskey or liquor, these types of he maybe, and some of it could very well be the case, but people do not get caught. I'm saying to this to my dear brothers and sisters, do not get caught up into what someone might do with what you give. When you give it, you have given it. It's not your business.
That's right.
Okay? And you don't worry about that. Your heart should say, I gave it for whatever purpose
because I was being generous. I wanted to help. The person may get food. The person may get drugs. The person may get drunk. We don't know that. But do not let that block your blessing and your generosity and your way to the kingdom by judging and suggesting that you're not going to provide the person with something because you have decided what they may do with it.
That's right.
Don't do that.
That's right. That's
just give
that's
it
very
and
profound,
let it go.
Brother.
Let it
that's
go.
Profound.
Give it, let it go. I'm telling you.
Amen.
Don't get caught up into that.
Amen.
Ladies and gentlemen, listen to the Brother For Real radio show. The number to call is 215-383-3872. After the break, we're going to be talking to Mr. Jonathan Pope, a 2017 graduate of Anson High School, and he is in line with what we're talking about tonight. Be right back.
Own race, then you only leave space to discriminate. And to discriminate only generates hate. And when you hate, then you're bound to get outraged. Yeah, madness is what you demonstrate. And that's exactly how anger works and operates. Man, you gotta have love just to set it straight. Take control of your mind and meditate. Let your soul gravitate to the love,
yeah.
Y'all. Y'all.
Just ain't the same, guys. Just ain't the same. Number to call is 215-383-3872. Mr. Jonathan Pope, Brother Pope, how are you tonight, Brother Pope?
I'm doing well. I'm doing well. How y'all doing?
Hey,
doing
brother.
Great. Doing great.
Up, bro?
Doing great. This brother graduated
good, bro.
In 2017 from Anson High School. Did you play sports, Brother Pope?
When I was in high school, I did baseball, track, I wrestled, and played football. So, you know, I was a little busy playing
football. So which one did you really tear things up in?
Football. You know, baseball is my favorite. But football is probably the one I was most gifted at. So, you know, I had the most of my success on the field.
Wow. What position? What position you play?
Running back.
Man, I probably out there cheering that night you ran that first touchdown, man. I was Anson County best cat jump groupie. Serious,
yeah,
man. I was following you back from the river. Where
you
were.
Yeah, he was there for a couple of them. I remember them, babe. I remember them.
Oh, yeah, man. Those were the good old days. So, Mr. Polk, where are you from, man?
So I'm from Wadesboro, North Carolina, you know, small town. That's where I'm from. I grew up mostly, you know, in Wadesboro, but I've lived in Polk and I lived in Lawsville, so I kind of, you know, got around the county. But I got most of my upbringing. I went to Ansonville Elementary School, so that's where most of my, like, you know, that's a lot of my younger years was spent with Ansonville in elementary school. So that's pretty much about my younger years. But I'm from Wadesboro.
Okay, great. I'm gonna ask you like the old folks. Hey, I'm gonna say this like the old folks, man. Who your people?
All right, so John Pope, that's my dad. My grandfather, that's William Horn. My grandma is Bertie Horn, and then my other granddad is John Frank Polk Senior, and then Ollie Pearl. Is my other grandmother.
All right, very good, man. I'm sure they're proud of you. I know, man. We are so excited to have you on the show, man, because we are so so concerned about the future, you know. And you give us hope that the future's gonna be okay, you know. So we really appreciate what you're doing out there. So you would co-found of the Smith and Pope Foundation?
Yes, sir. So it's myself and Will Smith. Will, he's a 2014 graduate of Anson New Tech. So, you know, we I guess you can kind of say we're one and the same when it comes to just the community, you know, giving back, and we both benefited from programs that gave back. And so I noticed you guys speak about reciprocity earlier. And, you know, I'm a firm believer in reciprocity. You know, if somebody gets something new, you know, not only should you expect it back, but you should expect it out of genuineness. You know, when you're a genuine individual, it's going to come back with a genuine intention. So, you know, I try to reciprocate every good thing that has ever happened to me in my life, you know, whether that be a book bag drive or whether that be some scholarship or whether that be just a, you know, a simple conversation with a kid that can be life-changing. I was a benefactor of all of those single things. So, you know, for me to, you know, be able to pay it forward, that means the world to me.
Oh, yeah. Well, we'll appreciate you doing that. So what is the purpose of the mission of the Smith Hope Foundation?
So our mission, you know, it started, you know, with us both being student athletes. Will played basketball, football, and he ran track and hockey as well. So with us both being student athletes, we understood that, like, the student part of that, the student athlete often gets overlooked in Anson County. And, you know, being one of the very few who played sports and was able to go to college, the expectations was for both of us, you know, to play on athletics in college, and, you know, which we both did. But the buck doesn't stop at athletics. So that's getting our students to understand they have a brain as well. You know, our student athletes understand that. You know, you have a brain. Just as good as you are on the field, you should be 10 times better in the classroom. That should be the expectation. And given the demographics of our school, you know, it's 57% black. You know, you have to be 20 times better just to be, you know, to meet that 10 times better expectation. So that's something that they got to be twice as good on and off the field to get the same amount of attention as somebody else would. So that's where our goal, that's where it started at. That's where you can kind of say the whole brainchild, the idea that was formed, you know, forming our student athletes. And then, you know, of course, that one dream and working other things. You know, we can't prepare our student athletes mentally if they aren't prepared physically for school. So, you know, giving them book bags, you know, for on their first day of school to be ready. You know, I firmly believe if you look good, you feel good. So giving them, the boys and the girls, free haircuts and free hairstyles for making that, you know, that first day of school the best first day. If they have a good first day, that's a catalyst for a good week. You have a great week, you have a great month, and so forth and so on. So we just understand the matriculation process. You know, you would love to hit the nail at the top, but sometimes you got to start hammering just a little bit by time. And, you know, Mr. Gaywood, you've been at, you know, they can teach you about the hammer and nail, so you know something to love about that now, I'm assuming. And the SBC.
I need your help, bro. I need your help. It's tough course. Yeah, man, so you guys have a big back to school bash coming up Sunday.
Yes, sir, Sunday.
Give us a little insight. Give us a peek into what's getting ready to happen on Sunday, man.
So on Sunday, we got a lot going on. So the kids are going to, every single child is there is going to receive a book bag, school supplies, or notebooks, pencils, you know, the common necessity. They're also going to get, all the boys are going to get a free haircut. All the girls are going to be able to get their hair did, you know, free hairstyles. We have professional hairstylers on the campus as well, it's going to be good to go. We have a train ride for the kids, so there's going to be a little train ride taking the kids around, you know, the little town square of Wadesburg, giving them something to see. We have a guy bringing reptiles, so it's going to be baby crocodiles and baby snakes out there. And we have food, so everybody that comes is going to get free food. You don't have to worry about paying food, any of that. It's going to be free. We're going to have music and all of that. You know, Holla's going to be supplying the music. We have a body shop coming. They're going to bring cars. We have Atrium Health. They're going to be giving a COVID shot. So everyone 12 and up is allowed a COVID shot. So you have to be at least 12 to get a COVID shot. And that's going to be fighting. And I feel like I'm going to stress the COVID shot is very important because I understand as a black male and as a member of the black community as a whole, I understand that as a, you know, we kind of delineate from when it comes to the medical field, given the past, you know, when it comes to, you know, the black community and the medical field, it always hasn't been a smooth transition and everything hasn't been amicable. But I feel like at the point where now, you know, it's not just us. Our lives aren't just at stake. It's the world. So, you know, to do our part in making like this one world we got, the best world we have, I feel like a COVID shot, you know, that's going to go a long way in making us a safe place. And we can't really tell you what to do, but I'm going to, you know, gingerly push you in the direction of taking a COVID shot. So anyone 12 and up, you're going to be able to get a COVID shot. And that is completely free. So with the Pfizer, we're going to be delivering the first dose. And the second dose, you can follow up with at any participating place, so like CVS or Walgreens, the Atrium Health. So any place you offer the second dose, you can get that. We're also going to have some giveaways. So we're going to have some laptop giveaways, some shoe giveaways. It's going to be a lot. I mean, it's a lot of things. I'm trying to think of anything else. We have the local gym. They're going to be coming on, putting on a fitness demonstration as well. It's just a lot of things. We have over 22 vendors. It's kind of hard to think about right off the top of my head. So it's a lot going on for the kids. It's going to be a fun day for everybody.
Great. Let's ask you this. COVID. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about the COVID situation. I guess we're following any kind of protocol for that. Just let people know so they can come out and feel better.
So mask. You know, we're going to have masks as well, and we're going to, you know, suggest that you guys bring your own mask and put your offer mask as well.
Yeah, I know we'll be giving out masks. We always get a lot of help from Black Voters Matter. They'll be providing some things for us to give out, pass out, there's just one little requirement when we give out Black Voters Matter paraphernalia and things like that, and it's no money involved. You just have to text We Matter to 798-7979. So make sure we stay on top of that on Sunday, brother. But, that's how Black Voters Matter keep up with you, how many people they're reaching, how many people they're teaching. So let's make sure we are. Let's talk about some of the sponsors of the event. Let's talk about some of your sponsors quick. Partners.
Definitely. So we have Holla, of course. Well, you want to do that? Or did you want me?
No, man. You good.
So we have Holla. And for me, it was very pivotal to get Holla involved. Me and Mr. Gable had a conversation early on in the process, and, you know, Holla was one of the first groups I saw as a child, you know, where they were directly influencing the community by book bags, speaking, holding events. So I felt like for me to come full circle when I speak of reciprocity, you know, I needed that involved. You know, I wanted that involved. We have Harvest Ministry. For everybody in the county, you know the Harvest Ministry is a staple of the community. So we have Tight Cuts and the Triad Barber School. And I mean, you know, when you're talking about a county where the demographic of the school are, you know, overwhelmingly majority Black, and then on top of that is majority male, you know, to have an appeal in the community that's the barbershop, you know, that's powerful for the Black men. So you having them that
that's
free have them sir?
I see you're right. That's big stuff, man. That's big.
Yeah. And so we needed that, and they're going to be supplying the hairstyles as well. We have the Caraway Foundation. So the Caraway Foundation, that no stranger to Anson as well, Anson County native, Miss Sarah Burns and Miss Angela Caraway. So they're going to be, it's all of us in conjunction, you know, making this happen. And for me, you know, in the past, as long as I've been alive, you know, there's been book bag drives. Everybody, one church might have one here, Holla have one here, Caraway Foundation there, Tight Cut here, but it's never really been one mass group effort. So, you know, me, Will and I took it upon ourselves, you know, to at least give it a shot. And, you know, given the vision and the way it was laid out to us, you know, it came to fruition. And it was to the point where, like, it wasn't really any crazy feedback either. It was just, you know, everybody was on board. So, you know, everybody working in the one, you know, it's making this event, you know, as big as it is. You know, and I'm pretty pleased about that. So those are, you know, the partners and sponsors of the event.
All right. Well, Brother Polk, we're going to take a quick break right quick, man, and I want you to stay on the line, man. We have some more stuff to talk about. We're going to delve off into another couple of areas of discussion. But hang on, man, if you can, just stay on the line. But is there anything you want to say before we go to break? Anything? How about telling everybody exactly where it is, man? I've been asking people. We've got people coming from all over the world to tell people exactly where we're going to be on time.
So it's going to be at East Wage, East Wade Street, Wadesboro, North Carolina. So that's East Wade Street, Wadesboro, North Carolina, and the zip code is 28170. So that should be pretty easy to navigate. So if you're familiar with Anson County, it's downtown right in front of the stage, right across from Parks and Drugs, downtown. And if you're not familiar, it's not too much to miss. So when you drive into town, make that right by KFC, and you'll find it. It's pretty self-explanatory. But the exact location is East Wade Street.
Very good.
Hey, Leon.
Yes, Kurt.
Yeah, I just wanted to. This is Reverend Curtis Gatewood. Evidently, we probably have not met. I don't think we have met. I do come to Anson County occasionally, and of course, beginning in September, I'll be coming the third Sunday of each month at 3 o'clock. But I did want to say to the brother, I need to get his name again.
Jonathan Pope, Curtis.
Jonathan Pope.
Curtis. Yes, sir. Jonathan Pope.
Well, I just want to commend you, brother. And I like the way you have been assessing the community. And that is the way you really can build on collaborate efforts and really be effective in what you're doing. I heard you talking about how, you know, there's been back to school here by various groups here or there. But then there had not been just this big collaboration. And that is a great assessment. And this is how we can do various big things. If we'll just look at, take an assessment of the community and then see what we can do to collaborate and get all of the parties working together. And I appreciate how you're doing that. And I know you're going to be successful. And you just keep your eyes doing those types of things, taking that assessment, evaluation of the community, where you see a void, keep pushing, keep pulling people together, keep building those coalitions. And I can assure you, we're going to see success. We're going to see change. And I pray that God will continue to bless you in everything that you're doing.
Now, I appreciate that. You know, those words mean a lot to me. And, you know, for me, it was never really about the, you know, like I've said this a million times, if I could do this without personal recognition, I would. But sadly, that's just not the way the world works out. But to me, it's, you know, it's about, I'm a firm believer, you know, playing sports in high school, they always instill the message mentality, leave it better than what you found it. And, you know, I'm not going to be an answer for longer, but if I can spark somebody else to want to do the exact same thing, if not better what I'm doing, then I feel like I'm doing just all right. Because it gets to a certain point where it's like, it's no longer about you, it's about the trickle-down effect. So if I can spark them out of another kid the same way I was sparked, then that's the goal. So, you know,
amen.
Like you're saying, collaborative efforts make that all possible. So,
absolutely. To God be the glory, brother. Keep up the great work, man. We appreciate you.
Thank you.
I'm looking forward to meeting you. I'm looking forward to meeting you on one of my times coming down.
Oh, yeah, likewise.
Ladies and gentlemen, number to call is 215-383-3872. Listen to the Brother Kalia Radio Show with Mr. Jonathan Pope tonight. Hang in there. We're going to be right back.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Brothers Career Radio Show, 215-383-3872. Robert, Curtis, Jonathan,
yes.
What in the world is going on in Haiti, man? What's going on in this world, man?
Man, talking about
what in the world is going on, man?
Hey, you know what? I'm thinking, Liam.
That's what
I'm thinking. Maybe Haiti needs to give. Maybe that's the, you know what I mean? If this giving thing is so powerful, they need to be giving like crazy. They can't get a break, boy. Lord have mercy.
No, man.
They had this earthquake back in 2010, kill 100,000 folks. They had a hurricane right after that, killed quite a few. Things calmed down a little bit. Now they, the president, they kill him off. Now they get another earthquake and another hurricane. Man, that's too much. Everybody talks about how resilience. They say resiliency is, man, is there a limit to resilience? I'd have to get out of there. I'm sorry. I have to go somewhere. Anywhere, like Malcolm said, any place but here. I'd be on a boat, man. A raft, a balloon. That place is doomed, man. I don't know what's going on down there.
It's terrible, man. That's
beyond comprehension.
Someone was telling me, you know, in one of my Facebook posts, you know, because, check this out. I'm one of those people who believe in doing all you can and pray. You see what I'm saying? In other words, I'm not a person who just wait on Jesus to do what I can do or what God has empowered me to do. And I'm just praying and just not help. Just like we were talking about tonight, you see somebody out there hungry, rather than getting out there and helping them, you pray for them. And Jesus talked about that. He was like, you know, when you just pray for somebody, then did you leave them cold or did you leave them without food? That's not really faith. Faith without works is dead. But and so someone was saying, well, you know, when I asked the people pray for Haiti, it was someone that made a comment that, well, you know, are you just asking them to pray? You know, are you not asking that they do some work? Now, this is one of those situations where if there was ever a time to pray, this is it, okay? There are certain situations, whether it's personal or societal, that your efforts alone cannot do what needs to be done. It's beyond you. You have to call on God for help. This is one of those situations. I cannot go to Haiti. I cannot help them to stop the rain, the floods, and the earthquakes and feed all the hungry people who are left. And on top of that, some of the funding and other resources that are being sent over there are not getting to the people. So this is not one of those situations where you're just asking God for help when you could do it yourself. This is a time to call on God for help. If there was ever a time to pray, this is it. This is not one of those situations where I'm praying for a new house, I'm praying for a new car, I'm praying for somebody to go out and help somebody that lives across the street that I should be helping myself. These are people who are facing things that I cannot do. I mean, they are facing so many natural disasters. They're facing so much deprivation and food. And so there are things that we can do. What we can do, please let's do it. We can petition our government to do more. We can start focusing more on just wars that are killing people and bombing people and start already proactively trying to help areas where we already know there's going to be these types of things happening. Now, we can do that. But as for now, I just ask that everybody please pray for Haiti.
But Curtis, you make a very valid point because some things are so enormous, it requires divine intervention. That's what it sounds like. This situation in Haiti, you ever heard the term somebody said something of biblical proportions? Well, that's probably where the word originated. This is something of biblical proportions. There's almost unheard of, unmatched, unparalleled trouble or devastation that has been visited upon one land. It
yep.
really boggles the mind.
Yeah. Like I said, even if I go out and start raising money for Haiti right now, if I start raising money for Haiti, is it going to get to these people? You know, I mean, we can't not do it for that reason, but we have reason to believe that even if we're raising money for Haiti, we still have to try if we are people of faith. Now, if you're not a person of faith, don't get me wrong. We're not forcing people who do not believe in God, who do not believe in any religious beliefs, to do anything about praying. But if you are a person of faith, then I'm saying, and if you believe you are righteous, and if you believe the scripture, we say the prayers of the righteous availeth much. If you believe in faith, you believe in God, I say this is a time and a place to pray and petition that God help. And I'm just saying, I'm not saying that to anybody. If you don't believe in prayer, don't, you know, this is not for you. But if you believe in prayer, please pray for Haiti.
But you said something.
And if there is a God, if there is a God, please, God, hear us. Have mercy. Please have mercy.
Well, Curtis, you said something else, too, that's important, that you're sending them one can, a box of beans, that might let one person eat for a day or two. But we do have the power to petition government and to
right.
marshal forces that can – it's going to take a collective effort. It's going to take a
right.
global effort. It's going to take a statewide effort because
right.
of the enormity of the pain and the suffering. So you
right.
can do something, but it's going to have to extend beyond just your one individual effort. You almost got to move the mountain that's in the way, and that
Absolutely.
Doesn't mean you can't. That doesn't mean that you may have to get a bulldozer if it's a mountain. You just can't say I'm going to move one rock. And so that sometimes that bulldozer is a parable for governments,
right.
for
right.
relief organizations, for churches, for institutions. We got to move institutions in order to get them to move on the country of Haiti.
Right. And I think we're coming on something. Everyone, while you're praying, we have to be thinking. And I will say this. Our government, as far as I'm concerned, our tax dollars are being abused. Our tax dollars are not being used in a way that is godly, in a way that is righteous, in a way that thinks about those who are amongst the least, in a way that might help the most needy. So I think this should cause us to think, especially those of us who believe in doing the right thing, to collectively come together and say to this country where we have so much where we can put more money in defense in the next 8 countries combined and put that much money into bombs and guns and ammunition and planes and technology to kill and to steal. So if we have that type of money, I think we as a nation need to reassess rather than giving that money to Israel to continue bombing people over in Palestine and to keep adding money to a defense that never defends black people or poor people or oppressed people. We should come together now and decide that we want our money to go to places like Haiti so when, in fact, something does happen to this magnitude, they are in a better position to fend for themselves. But you cannot be a poor country and something like this happens and expect to be able to overcome it without help. So this is another one of those situations where we as a nation, to whom much is given, much is required, and America is not doing what it should do or what is required by God.
You know what I was thinking, Curtis?
Right, quick.
Maybe sometimes it may take a Haiti or a country similar to Haiti to have the world power to really decide that they're going to study war no more. And maybe
right.
they can collectively say, look, there's got to be a better way to use our
right.
resources. As long as there are Haitis
right.
of the world, as long as there's
right.
Azerbaijanis, as long as there's West Banks, as long as there's people around
right.
the world that's suffering, maybe these, one day these people will grow a conscience and look right. them and say, look, maybe we can do more with the resources that we have, with the blessings they've been bestowed, that's been bestowed upon them, rather than fighting each other and killing each other and creating weapons of war. So maybe that's maybe right. there is a silver lining in here. Hopefully, I can only pray and hope.
Right. Right. Amen.
Yeah, I've also been thinking about Afghanistan the past few days. And the thing about America pulling out of Afghanistan, my personal opinion, I'll share it. I get out of there. I mean, you know, hey, what can we do? I mean, how long can you, if you're not going to take over the country, you might as well come out.
Yeah, well, see, America has been very hypocritical in causing destruction where they claim to be helping people. And they've actually been occupying people's land and countries and pretending to be the good guys, when in fact they should have never been there in the first place. I don't think, for the most part, when George W. Bush went into Afghanistan, I know when he went into Iraq and some of these places, the people are not asking for them to come there. They had another, they had a hidden agenda. And so, yeah, a lot of these places where America has been occupying these countries, they should have been there, never been there in the first place, and they should be looking at ways, again, instead of finding a way to try to find, take people off, as they did in Iraq, and try to run somebody else's country, as they did in some of these other countries that where they were not invited. We should go where we should, where we are wanted, where we can provide service, and there are no hidden agendas. So maybe we could start working on ways that we're not going to help Haiti. We certainly shouldn't be trying to push them out of the country as Trump was doing, because Trump had already started trying to put a timeline. In fact, he may have already done it and probably started trying to send people back to Haiti. When in fact we can bring these people here, we can do more with the resources. Of course, we can't do more for them if we're going to take the money and abuse it like we are now. But if people actually use the money in a way that will actually help people and not put it all on resources and the billionaires and tax breaks and all this stupid stuff, but if people actually took the money that we do have and we made sure we provided for people in a way that could help people foreign and at home, then, you know, we could do something. But right now, the mindset that we have where a country is basically giving more to the rich and less to the poor, then it would only cause more suffering, because they'll be brought here probably to be made new slaves. So what we need to do is make sure we have a conscious nation and a conscious voice in this nation that's not just hiding or just looking out for themselves, but looking after people who cannot do for themselves. And I think the church has a major role to play in becoming that voice.
Here. Well, you know, I tell you my quick 2 cents. I think that what's going to happen, almost in a similar line with what's happening in Haiti, is that these countries like the United States and China and Russia, the tradition. Well, China not so much. They've China has chosen a different approach. If you haven't noticed, that they tend to go in, they take the economic route. They may be exploiters, but they have not chosen the weapon to exploit these countries. And I think even though they probably have their own motives, and whether they're benign or not, they've made these countries that most colonial powers, they use the weapon, they use the bullets, they use the tanks, they use the airplanes and the bombers and the Tommy Hawk missiles, whereas China and some of the other countries have discovered that we can get in and get the same result by making these countries into partners instead of adversaries. And one of the things that has been was noticed right away, that as soon as the Taliban, before they could raise their flag, China was already in there making deals. And I think what countries are going to discover, that if you're a bottom line thinker, look at the United States have $1 trillion worth of equipment over in Afghanistan when they had to when the Taliban took over. And you start looking at the bottom line, you start realizing maybe we could have got the same result
by making Afghanistan a partner initially instead of coming in there with the gunboats. And that's, I think, more countries are going to start to realize that you think you're taking the shortcut. You think you're going to come in there and just roll over people and take their resources and make them bend their will, when at the same time you may have to negotiate and sacrifice and make coalitions and share the wealth. Find out in the long term, you won't keep running off rooftops and embassies like the United States have done for the past 50 years.
Yeah, the United States has a disastrous foreign policy. It is evil. It is wicked. It is a bully. It is a Goliath foreign policy. And there are some Davids out there. And the Davids, there's some Davids that showed up on 9/11 01. They don't need as much to bring America down as we have started to accumulate in our resources when it comes to military might. But we're finding that military might is not going to be the thing that's going to take you or allow you to survive in this world. People can do a lot more damage with a lot less now. You don't have to have an atomic bomb, and people are learning through technology and various ways in how to bring down Goliath. So I'm hoping that people are just going to do the right thing and not think just because we're putting all our money into the basket of military might that we're going to be safe. It's safe to do right. That's the safe thing to do. Do the right thing. That's safe.
Amen to that, brother. Look, brothers, time's running out. We still have Brother Poke on the line. We want to give him a last moment, a last word to shout out. I think our program is going to be great.
I just want to say congratulations, Brother Pope. You say you graduated from school in 2017?
Yeah, I graduated in 2017. And I just graduated from South Carolina this past May from ECU.
I'm saying I take my hats off to a young brother like yourself. I was listening to you talk about the back to school bash and all this, and Curtis hit the nail on the head when he talked about the collaborative effort. And that's impressive. We need more of that. We really do. I mean, I heard book bags and haircuts and train rides and reptiles. That's collaboration, I'm telling you. I've never heard of it.
Yeah.
Congratulations, man. I'm pretty sure you're going to be successful.
Robert, I do want to not underestimate what that haircut can do, because I grew up in a family where we didn't necessarily have to have a barbershop cutting our hair. And I can remember some of those days where daddy put a bowl on your head and cut your hair, and you didn't want to come out of the house. It had a lot to do with your self-esteem. So something that simple can add a lot of self-esteem to a child or a young person who has to go to school. So don't underestimate those great things that you're doing.
Amen.
Hey, you look good. Daddy put the bowl on your head, you were lucky.
Yeah. That's
true.
Putting
that
boy in there. Yeah, people thought we had talent.
You at least had something. You got ringworm. Ain't no ringworm. That daddy worm. That daddy gap haircut.
I didn't have you guys around when I was coming up. What they call themselves? Cool cut, quick cuts, or what cut?
Hey, guys, remember those clippers? Remember those torturous clipper things they have? They weren't even electric. Those hand manual clippers.
Yeah, man.
It's impossible to do a clean, even haircut with that thing.
Yeah. And you'd be sitting down there for 3 hours.
I was. Well,
and then
pull
the hair
out
one hair at a time.
Your hair would have grown back by the time they finished.
Curtis, you were lucky if you put the bowl on your head, brother. That's all I got to tell you. You didn't put the bowl on me.
Get give Brother Polk the last word, man, because he knows he's finding out we're crazy, man.
Oh, yeah.
Brother Polk, how you doing, man? What time we start, man? From 1 to 5, right?
From 1 to 5, 1 to 5. So we start registration. You know, we want to start promptly at 5. So I would like for everybody to get there around 12:30. Registration will start whenever the people start getting there. So that's pretty much it. And I appreciate this platform and opportunity to spread the word. I appreciate the opportunity to, you know, come on here and spread the word about a bad school job. I mean a lot, too.
Well, brother, we're going to work with you back anytime you want to come back.
Anytime, Brother Polk, man, looking forward to seeing you, man. If I can make it out there Sunday, I'll come all the way out from Burlington to come out there. If I can make it, if my schedule permits, brother. Keep up the great
work.
Yeah,
listen, I love to have you out there. Can't wait to see you guys, right? I love to have you out there, too.
Amen. All God bless you, brother. Keep it up, man. Keep up the great work. Don't let
Last thing we want to make sure we mention, Brother Polk is calling, is challenging all of the fraternities, all of the colleges, and the whatever to wear your shirt. Come and wear your shirt. Wear your paraphernalia of your alma mater or whatever you did, man.
Yeah, so all fraternities, all sororities, all college graduates, all current college students from Anson County, I'd love to see you guys out there. What better way to get our kids motivated to get them, you know, higher level education? Than the people who have came through the same program that they have and have to see it. Yeah, we need that.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we'll see you Sunday. We out of here. Thanks for listening. Thank you, Brother Pope. Thank you, Robert. Thank you, Curtis. Thank you, everybody, for coming up tonight. We listen all over the world, man. Go. Have fun. Give. It feels good. Give.
Livingstone is homegrown in Salisbury, known for its legendary Hood Seminary, steady LC Carnegie Library. Livingstone does what is necessary to enhance its precious stones like a lapidary, with the care inexpressible beyond vocabulary, to create a sanctuary beyond the ordinary, school of hospitality, arts and culinary, holistic instruction, that's visionary, student health center, and it's apothecary, barrack auditorium where it's in like a canary, learning methods may vary, but the efforts never tarry, sweet knowledge from a college like a sweet black cherry, athletes ready to defeat the adversary, Tubman building where the author literary, black history readily beyond February.
Wow.
Now the blueberry is a rare species. The blueberry has no fear of enemies. His intellect is what they respect. When intellect is in effect, we put opponents in check. Since 1879, LC stood the test of father time. Dr. Joseph Price, Bishop J.W. Hood paid the price of sacrifice so we could break the chains from the mental plantation, fill our brains with the best education, heal the pain of insane degradation. When we claim education, we can gain liberation. We're not taking like HBCU. Historical black with a knack to rise anew. Nothing can hold back the black and blue. Come on, Livingstone, this track is for you. L-O-V-I-N-G-S-T-O-N-E, Livingstone, C-O-L-L-E-G-E. Who you with? Who you with? Let's bring it, like a garment that's fitted. The LC district is closely knitted. So let me be explicit. We are family and I'm happily knitted with it. Instructions are holistic, committed, our spirit is befitted, and we know God did it. Victory in the face of adversity, fervently using faith as necessity, universally with diversity, a Christian university, God have mercy! New trend, old trend, anywhere we represent, the blueberry is there and his pride is evident. We're not blinking, faith not shrinking, we're rising above tide, and we're not sinking. From the top to the bottom, our arms are linking like a chain of brains, to LC we're clinging. Our presidents represent phenomenal thinking, from Dr. J. Price to Dr. J. Jenkins. L-I-V-E-N-G-S-T-O-N-E-L-L-E-G-E. Who you with? Who you with?
LC.
Well, let's bring you from LC to the mystery of hereafter. America's the HBCUs of Africa. We're all better when we're all together. Even when the darkest of nights may fester. How dark the night, it does not matter. No weapon against us in the blue bear battle. The blue bear is tougher than the thickest leather. We're sticking together, come whatever. Out here's a level, we stomp the devil. And yes,
I'm a radical blue bear rebel.
We are the mighty LC. The blue bear spirit is all over me. We bring
bring it like a team. We bring it with the fan. We bring it like dreams from kings who took a stand. But bring it humbly, yes, so grand. We will bring it like the Blue Thunder marching band. Bang. And when we blow on Monroe Street, we put pep in our steps like step shows from Greeks like K8SAC, 858, Omega 55, AKA, DST, Z5B, 5 Beta Sigma, G5G, Swing 5 Swing, and if you didn't pledge a thing, that's okay, LC, 110. Now let me hear you scream. Livingstone, beneath the stone, the many seeds were sown. Now you set the right tone, you turn the light on. As we move on, with our groove on, dignified, I feel bonafide, I feel good inside, even sanctified. God's on our side, that's the way we ride. My LC pride is maximized. Bring it on, bring it on, bring it on, bring it on, Livingstone, it's time to bring it on.
Every HBCU, you are my family.
L-O-V-I-N-G, that's T-O-N-E, Livingstone, P-O-L-L-E-G-E. L-O-V-I-N-G-S-T-O-N-E, Livingstone, P-O-L-L-E-G-E. Who you with? Who you with?
Every HBCU, you're my family too.
Wow. Well, that was good. Wow.
That was good, man.
Sure.
That was powerful.
The more I hear it, man, the more
we're
I
out
like
of here, bro.
All right.
Oh, yeah.
Good talk, man. Darren, I'm in the ass for some money.
We're out
of here, bro. People, man. I got to go to Elizabeth City tomorrow. I'm in telling people to put some money in.